Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Robert Baer, who's a veteran CIA operations officer who served in various Middle Eastern countries, including Iraq and Lebanon and Syria. Robert Baer is now an intelligence analyst for CNN and is the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, Sleeping with the Devil, and The Devil We Know, dealing with the new Iranian superpower. His latest book, co-written with his wife Dana, is The Company We Keep, a husband and wife true life spy story. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Baer.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, we spoke last October, Bob, and we were the first to raise the question of whether or not Edward Snowden is a Russian intelligence asset who has been working for them all along. And this, that back in October, we were talking about stories in the New York Times that had revealed that Edward Snowden, when he was working for the CIA in Geneva, had tried to break into the computers of the Directorate of Operations, which are the most secret and tightly held database probably in the U.S. government. So let's begin with that. Your speculation back in October was, why would anybody break into the Directorate of Operations computers unless somebody asked them to do it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the guy was clearly a security problem when he worked for the CIA. It's a no-no trying to get in these databases. It doesn't matter whether you're a systems administrator or not. It's a firing offense. Of course, the question is, why didn't the CIA alert the National Security Agency? That's something I can't answer. But, I mean, there's indications here that this guy was unstable. He was looking at places he shouldn't have been looking, and the fact that he found a way into apparently 1.7 million documents from the National Security Agency, this doesn't sound to me like somebody operating on his own, especially somebody of that age. I mean, you know, the National Security Agency does have a system for monitoring this stuff, and so how did he get around it? Did he learn it on his own? There's also the question of, from a covert action perspective, it's been a gold mine for our enemies the way this stuff's been released. In covert action, you never want to release it all at once. It gets lost. You dribble it out. You wait for the administration to make a statement saying, that's it, you've seen the worst, and then you give it something worse. The other fact is that a lot of this stuff, he's gotten into sources and methods, which goes beyond, you know, privacy issues, if that was just the question. The fact, you know, what cell phone technology can be intercepted and de-encrypted, that was another sign. Listening into Merkel's phone, for instance. It was all sort of calculated embarrassment, and it just got worse and worse. You know, this is orchestrated. You know, kid may be a genius. On the other hand, you know, being an old spook, you have to wonder whether the Russians didn't get in touch with him in Geneva or Tokyo or even Hawaii, wherever he's been. And especially if he was on the Internet, you know, going on about, you know, his beliefs, he would be a perfect recruit. I mean, that's somebody I would have looked at if he'd been a Russian.
Well, the head of the House Intelligence Oversight Committee on Sunday on Meet the Press, he made the charge that Snowden, when he was in Hawaii, when he was basically stealing most of this stuff, that he was probably working for the Russians then. But he also said that it's hardly a coincidence that Snowden ended up in the hands, the loving arms of an FSB agent in Moscow. And there, I imagine, Chairman Rogers is referring to Sarah Harrison, the WikiLeaks person who took him to the Russian consulate in Hong Kong at the time that he first broke the news and was filmed. And that's where he was hiding out when he was in Hong Kong. And Sean Wilentz, the Princeton historian, has a very provocative article in the New Republic talking about Snowden, who he really is, in terms of what Sean Wilentz has dug up, both Snowden, Greenwald, and Assange, the head of WikiLeaks. And, you know, he makes the case, or the evidence seems to point to the idea that WikiLeaks is in many ways a Russian asset. They, back in at the time before the sexual charges against Assange were released by the Swedes, WikiLeaks had promised to reveal very damaging information about Russia. And then they apparently completely changed their tune. Russia said they'd block them all together. And then in order for them to make, they apparently made a deal with the Russians not to be blocked. And then suddenly Russia turns around as their most vocal defenders in against the Swedish charges. And
well, Ian, it's just not that. He hasn't laid a hand on the Chinese or the Russians. I mean, there's clearly stuff in documents he had access to that put the Russians in a bad light or the Chinese. I mean, the National Security Agency was all over Chinese hacking, and the fact that he didn't go after them, this is very one-sided. You have to ask those questions, and the fact that the FBI has said, no, we don't see a Russian hand, it's crazy. I mean, they don't know that.
Right.
They can't prove it. That's something else.
But well, the first leak that came, apart from the metadata leak, which was about our invasion of privacy by the NSA, the first leak that came out was a presidential finding signed by Barack Obama targeting China for cyber espionage. That came out on the eve of Obama's meeting with the new Chinese leader in Palm Springs, which completely undercut Obama's negotiating position.
Yes, Ian, this is what I'm saying. The timing just stinks to high heaven.
Right.
Both against the Chinese and the Russians. And the Russians had every motivation in the world after, you know, these illegals were rolled up. And he was personally embarrassed by the spies arrested in the United States. So I don't think this is looking good. I just don't. I mean, you know, I'm overly suspicious, but it's gone beyond the metadata. And what we can't forget is, look, Snowden may be right that there's been an overreach to the National Security Agency. I have no doubt about it. I also don't doubt that people have been taking a peek into congressmen's, you know, metadata and journalists as well. And they go out and get warrants otherwise, but once they've decided who's guilty. I can't prove that, but I suspect it, and there are a lot of newspapers that suspect it. So he might be right in that regard, but that doesn't mean he can't be a bad guy also working for the Russians. They're not mutually exclusive.
Well, just to go back to the beginning of the story in Hong Kong, where Snowden, according to Izvestia and other sources that I've talked to, said that he was in the Russian consulate and he was taken there by Sarah Harrison, who apparently Mike Rogers is referring to as the loving arms of an FSB officer. The other source that I talked to about this was Bruce Fine, who was the lawyer for Lon Snowden, Snowden's father, who told me that when the father was trying to get to the son, that they had to deal with WikiLeaks. And he said that Bruce said that WikiLeaks were getting were totally working with the Russians and on the Russian payroll. So there is, I think, need for some clarity here, particularly after the evidence that Sean Wilentz has brought forth in the New Republic. I mean, this is what frustrates me. I get slammed for even having a conversation like this because people are so absolutely tribal in their beliefs and they can't keep two thoughts in their head at the same time, that one, the guy can be a hero and a traitor. But the point is, as a journalist, we don't have access to this guy. He's totally controlled by the Russians. The only people they let talk to him are people like my friend Ray McGovern, who are not going to ask difficult questions.
Well, the problem is on a situation like this, you never run to the Russians or the Chinese. The whistleblowing is fine. You go to Ecuador. You go to a neutral place, Iceland even. You cut your deals. And taking somebody to the Russian consulate undermines the message. I don't trust the National Security Agency. I don't want them controlling my metadata. I know that, you know, there's a possibility they're listening to my phone because I'm a critic when I'm overseas. Any sorts of things. It's a messy, messy system. And I'm glad that Snowden put it out on the record, the way this thing works, because he wasn't going after sources and methods. But now he is. And I really have a problem with Merkel. Who cares whether we listen to Merkel's phone? Ian, I can listen to your phone privately. I can listen to your so what? It happens all the time. But the fact is that the way this was released makes me wonder about motivations. Snowden should have gone to Congress, and if they didn't do anything, is revealed this on the front steps of Capitol Hill. And that's the way to do it. And you take your licks, go to jail, whatever. That's what whistleblowers do, sort of a sacrifice. But running to the Russians, no. He undercut the message. We can only imagine what else he gave the Russians we're not even hearing about. You know, and I don't. Why should we take his word for it? He gave them nothing. Why?
Well, as I say, the problem is that, which reinforces my suspicions, is that you know nobody has access to him anymore. That Putin says that he doesn't want him to embarrass our friends. That's all he's been doing ever since, is embarrassing the U.S. and dividing the U.S. from its allies.
But why doesn't he have come out against FAPSI? That's the Russian intercept people. Why hasn't he? Why has there been no criticism? Russia listen to everything.
Right.
On their embassies, and this National Security Agency has stuff on that too, but you're not seeing a word of it.
Well, but I think that I recall when he was in Moscow, supposedly at the airport, that the reason that Putin was justified in issuing him a one-year visa, according to what Putin said, was that the Americans have basically taken his passport away and closed all of the exits. Well, the main exit was closed by a Russian leak that said he was on the president of Bolivia, I think it was, a plane. That leak came from the Russians. So it's an awfully coincidental that leak ended up closing the door on other possibilities where Snowden could end up, so that he ends up in the hands of the Russians to debrief him.
It's just nonsense. The Russians, this is, come on, you know. This is all evidence points to some sort of Russian complicity, either after the act or even before. I mean, I obviously don't know about Geneva. And I don't trust Rogers. I don't trust, you know, the right wing on this or the Republicans or anybody. I don't trust the administration. But I'm just talking about somebody who's being objective. It has all the smell of a covert action operation. Too slick, too professional, and it'd be one that the CIA would love to have pulled off themselves. And I just don't think we're at the end of this by any means.
Well, if we are at the beginning of it because of what Mike Rogers, the chair of the House Committee, and he's not exactly a credible source. I think he may have been the guy that – didn't he dig up those pictures of an old World War One mustard shell in Iraq to say they had WMD? I mean
– Well, it's the problem is it's the same. It's the Benghazi crowd.
Right.
There's no smoking gun on Benghazi. I mean, we all sort of know what happened there, and it was, you know, catastrophe. But when it's you get into the politics, that's what's. But I'm still waiting for some sort of real evidence before I make up my mind about Snowden.
Right.
You know, like I said, I don't. You know, he did the right thing on the metadata and the site in Utah and the rest of it. Just sort of unconscionable that we would allow this to go forward. But the Russian angle, we still don't have an answer on yet, but I suspect the worst.
Well, Dianne Feinstein, the head of the Senate Select Intelligence Committee, she was also on Meet the Press with Mike Rogers. She was a little more circumspect. But then, you know, Mike Morrell, former, was he? He was up pretty high up in the CIA. I can't remember what his position was. He's come on, I think it was CBS, saying that he agrees that this is has all the earmarks of a classic Russian operation, and that Putin is laughing.
Ian, I trust Morrell. Morrell is apolitical. He was supposed to be director. He was assistant director, deputy director, and he's somebody like that doesn't get up and say that. He's an analyst that just sort of deals in the truth.
Right.
The more we see of this, the more it suggests is some sort of Russian connection. You know, they may have dropped on their lap, but right now, if I were the Russians, I'd make sure that I held on to this guy and continue to milk it as long as they need to.
Well, then, how does a journalist find out what the hell is going on? I mean, I've tried to talk to CIA people, and they say, well, it's deep in counterintelligence, and we don't know. And you're not going to get to it. And you can't trust Rogers and the Intelligence Committee. So, you know, I've taken this story as far as I can and gotten nothing but abuse for it.
Well, don't pay any attention. This stuff on, you know, Rick Ames, the CIA mole, is all just sort of nonsense that's continued about the matrices and the rest of it, how they caught Ames. You just never get to the bottom of it. Someone's going to come out of the FBI or the CIA 10 years from now, and he's going to sit down and present facts. And, you know, unfortunately, by then, we're all going to sort of forget who Snowden was. But it just takes time, Ian, you know, to make.
Well, but what about some kind of pressure from the mainstream media to get to Snowden, to get and to Sarah Harrison and to Assange and to start asking these questions? I mean, the questions that are raised by Sean Wilentz in the New Republic on who both Snowden, Assange, and Greenwald are, according to him, are pretty alarming. I mean, you know, the stuff that was dug up on Snowden just from his online chats. Have you heard? It's unbelievable the stuff that he said about Social Security at the time of the crash in 2008. He wasn't bothered at all. He said almost everyone was self-employed prior to 1900. Why is 12% unemployment so terrifying? Save money, cut this Social Security bull. I can't use the whole word. Others were saying Social Security is BS, toss old people in the street, etc. And then Snowden says, somehow our society managed to make it hundreds of years without Social Security just fine. Magically, the world changed after the New Deal and old people became made of glass. You know, that's...
Well, he's an idiot. You know, he was living off a government contract. He'd drop out from high school and he's, what, making over $200,000 a year. For patent, you know, for Booz Allen. I mean, you know, there's corporate welfare. I mean, this guy's just an idiot, you know. Mm. You know what he says and the rest of it. He's the worst sort of messenger on NSA. Going to Russia, going to China, his political views. We don't always get, you know, the whistleblower we want. But it doesn't mean we can't deal with the facts and entertain the possibility that the Russians have control of him and did very early on. And that's just, those are the facts that we have to deal with.
Right. Well, as I say, just in closing, I wish there was a way that you could get to this guy and ask him these questions, and particularly Sarah Harrison and Assange and all of those people. Greenwald, particularly the questions that are raised. I'm going to be talking with Sean Wilentz tomorrow, so I'll follow up on it. So I thank you for joining us, Robert Baer.
Thanks.
Again, I've been speaking with Robert Baer, who is a veteran CIA operations officer who served in various Middle Eastern countries, including Iraq and Lebanon. Robert Baer is now an intelligence analyst at CNN. He's also the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, Sleeping with the Devil, and The Devil We Know, Dealing with the New Iranian Superpower. His latest book, co-written with his wife Dana, is The Company We Keep, A Husband and Wife True Life Spy Story. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Love.